give a warm welcome, round of applause for Brent Kessler.
All right. Thank you, guys. Am I on?
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. So who in here just saw me present at the same time yesterday? Nobody? Everyone's brand new today? Okay, cool. Good deal. So because the reason I'm asking that is because I'm going to go over the exact same presentation that I did yesterday at 1:30, except today I think I have to hand do my little slides because the clicker is not working. Is that right, Hannah? The clicker is not working. So I got to click my slides like this, right? Let me make sure I get all this down. So, all right, that's going to be a little odd for me because I like walking back and forth a lot. So anyway, I am Brent Kessler. The name of our company is The Money Multiplier. I'm located in Port Orange, Florida, about an hour east of Daytona Beach. Anyway, the thing that I'm going to do today is I'm going to teach you about your money, your wealth, how to keep your money, how to grow your money, how to recycle, recapture all of the dollars that have been leaving your family forever. So the stuff that I'm going to go over is going to be outside of the box thinking. It's not going to be just what you've been taught about money, and it's not just the things that you've heard from your parents, your grandparents, your friends, your colleagues, and your coworkers. So I want you to keep an open mind as I go through this. Now, if you notice on the screen, it has my contact information up there. It has my name, my email, my phone number, and all of you guys are going to get a handout that looks like this. They're passing them around now, so you all will have that. Now, at the end of this, there's nothing I'm going to ask you to buy. There's nothing I'm selling. Nothing at all. So, at the end, after I'm done, if this is something that you think you may want to explore a bit more, or maybe it's something you want to do in your own financial life, then on the very back page is a sheet of paper, and all you would do is put your name, your email, and your phone number on it, and just, I got Hannah right there, which is my daughter, also my assistant. Just turn in that sheet to her. But do not turn it in unless you don't want me to call you or text you or email you. It's all right if you don't, but if you turn it in, make sure you answer my call when I call you. All right? Fair enough? That's all I ask. All right. So let's get started. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about money. And so who am I? Well, I'm actually a chiropractor. I no longer practice chiropractic anymore. I sold my last clinic in 2017. I have not actively practiced since 2008. I had 5 clinics in the Kansas City area. The concept that I'm going to share with you today, I first learned about it in 2006. I was at a chiropractic conference, and I heard about this thing called the banking concept. And I was like, man, that looks really, really good, but it just looks too good to be true. Have you guys ever seen something like that, where it looks good, but it looks too good to be true? Well, that was me in 2006 when I heard the information. So after I heard it, I didn't do anything with it. I left, I went back, and I was doing my normal thing. And then I go back to another chiropractic conference about 2 years later in 2008, and there's about 10 or 12 of my colleagues that were at the previous conference with me, and the only difference between me and them is when they heard it the first time, they started to act on it, and they implemented the concept that I'm going to share with you today. Because anyway, at that 2008 conference, so they were coming up to me and they were ranting and raving about, Brent, man, isn't this banking concept the most powerful thing ever to build, keep, and create wealth? And I thought to myself, man, there has to be something to this, right? Because there's no way that 10 or 12 of my colleagues could be lying to me. Yeah, maybe like one or two were lying, but not 10 or 12. So I came home and I told my wife, and at that time it was February of 2008, I told my wife, we have to start implementing this concept in our life. And at that time, which was February 2008, we were $984,711 in debt. That's what I owed to the third-party creditors. Now, you're probably thinking, well, how does a guy from Kansas get to be almost $1 million in debt, right? I know if you live in California, it buys a small house, but in Kansas, it buys you a lot. Well, how was I in all that debt? I had my loans from chiropractic college. I had the house that I lived in. I had the clinic. I also had a house on the Lake of the Ozarks between Kansas City and St. Louis. And if you have to, you have a house on a lake, you have to have a boat and a wave runner, don't you? Yeah. So I had a boat and a wave runner, and I'm an airplane pilot. So as an airplane pilot, I had to have my own airplane. Yeah. So it didn't take me a lot to become about $1 million in debt. Well, I was able to put this concept, this process that I'm going to share with you today, and I was able to pay that debt off in 39 months. 3 years and 3 months, I didn't have to work harder, change my cash flow, take any additional risk, or lose control. All I did was I added one simple step in my financial life, and that's what I'm going to go over with you today. All right, now, there's this book here. It's called Becoming Your Own Banker by a guy named R. Nelson Nash. Now, I'm not here to sell you the book. I think we bought like two copies. But the thing I want you to know is where the information, a lot of it, comes from. This is a book that you definitely want to add to your wealth-building library. The thing, you can go on our website and order it, or go on to Amazon and order it. The reason I'm sharing it with you is because this book changed my life. R. Nelson Nash, Becoming Your Own Banker. Actually, 2019, it was March of 2019, was when we lost Nelson at age 87. But I'm telling you, you want to add that book to your library. And if you're like me and have a little ADD going on, it also has 2 hours of audio, so if you'd rather listen to the audio. But definitely a book that you need to add to your life. Now, there's another book that I wrote about a year and a half ago, and it's called Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery. And I wrote this book with a longtime client of mine, which is now a colleague. His name is Chris Noggle. Now, a lot of you guys may have heard of Chris Noggle if you're very active in the real estate world, or maybe you've watched a lot of his stuff on YouTube and all the videos and stuff that he has. He's a pretty big social media guy out there. But Chris Noggle, he lives in Buffalo, New York. He's been my client for a long time. He's now a colleague on our team with us. He used to be a financial advisor for New York Life for 14 years. He was a stockbroker. He's had a couple TV shows. One was on House Hunters. The other one was on HGTV called Risky Builders. So I would suggest, if you're not following Chris Noggle right now, make sure you follow him, because he's got a ton of good content. But on that book, I will email you all the ebook. All you got to do is send me an email, Brent@themoneymultiplier.com. B-R-E-N-T, Brent@themoneymultiplier.com. And I will email you the ebook of this book. All right? Now, just to be clear of what we're going to be talking about today, and I don't know if my sound is working. We'll see. Money. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, I'm not going to have time to go through my full presentation because of the time that we have together, but I am going to give you a couple things to review afterwards, or after the conference is over. And, okay, the one thing is called the backward bicycle. So I want you to go to YouTube sometime, right, maybe tonight at the end of the deal, and I want you to go to YouTube. And there's this video. It's like 7 minutes and 50 seconds, and it's called The Backward Bicycle. All you got to do is plug in Backward Bicycle on YouTube, and I want you to watch it. And after my presentation that I do today, and you go home and watch it, you'll see why I asked you to watch it. Because what I'm going to cover with you today is going to be outside of the box thinking. It's not conventional stuff that you guys have been taught about money. And the Backward Bicycle kind of gets your mind in that right location. So this is how the video starts, just so you know you'll be on the right one. And again, I got to sit here and push the buttons because the clicker doesn't work on the computer for some reason. It worked yesterday. I don't know why. All right. So anyway, there's a guy named Will Rogers, and here's what Will Rogers says. He says, the problem in America isn't so much what people don't know, it's what people think they know that just ain't so. So a lot of the stuff that you've been taught about wealth and money may not actually be the truth. I just want you to keep an open mind as I go through this. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm not going to ask you to buy anything at the end. But hopefully, if this is something that you like, and if it's something you want to do, then I'm the person that you'll do it with. All right? Now, I said our topic today is money, right? That is what we're going to be talking about until about 3 o'clock is money. But in order to talk about money, we have to have a definition of money. All of us have to agree, at least for the next hour, of what the definition of money is. So if I ask you to tell me the definition of money, you guys would tell me what? Greenbacks. Exchange. That's all money is it not? It's a means of exchange. All we do with money every day is exchange it for the products and services that we're buying. Alright? For example, we exchange money for food, food for money. Car for money, we exchange at the house for money. We exchange an airline ticket for money. We exchange groceries for money. We exchange a hotel room for money. All money is a means of exchange, okay? So that's going to be our definition. Now, I'm going to show you how to get all the money back for every product and service that you're ever going to buy, all right, by the time I end today. I'm going to show you, for example, how to get all the money back for every car that you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life. So not only do you buy the car, but you get the money back. You see, here's how you guys buy cars right now. I don't even know you, but I know how you buy a car. Anytime you buy a car, the thing you do is you take your money and you give it to the car dealer. The car dealer gives you the car, right? He's got the money, you get the car. So either you pay cash for it, you bank finance it, or you lease it. That's how you buy cars. Because I don't think you guys stole it. You all look pretty honest. I don't think you guys look like you stole a car. Well, I don't know. There's a couple of you that look a little shiesty. But probably the majority of you bought the car, paid cash, bank finance, and released it. So how about if there's a way that I can show you how not only can you give them the money for the car, they're going to give you the car, but now there's one simple step that if you do, the thing you're going to be able to do is get all the money back plus have the car. Would that be pretty cool? And if I show you how to do it with a car, guess what else it works for? A house, a boat, a bicycle, a cell phone, clothes, jewelry, an airline ticket, college education, taxes, whatever it is, whatever product or service that you buy, you can now not only buy the product or service, but recycle and recapture and get all the money back. All right, so just keep an open mind because that's what I'm going to show you. All right? Now, remember, I got to push the button here, so I'm a little off. Okay, how does your money flow? The method to get all your money back. We're going to talk about what are the mysteries of money. We're going to talk about the machine. Pretty soon, I'm going to show you the machine that we're going to use to build, keep, and create wealth. And it's going to surprise a lot of you. It's going to surprise a lot of you what that machine is. You're going to be thinking, what? I know everything there is to know about that, and there's no way I'm building my wealth with that machine. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the mission, the marathon. This is not a sprint. It's not a get-rich-quick deal. This is going to be one simple thing that you're going to want to add to your financial life. You see, I'm not going to have you change anything you're doing. So whatever you're doing right now, I'm not going to have you change anything. I'm not going to have you work harder, change your cash flow, take any additional risk, or lose control. We're just going to add one additional step to what you're already doing. We'll talk about the millionaire and the movement. All right. So I have three calculators up there on the screen. And I'm going to make believe this is your checking or your savings account at your local bank. And if you can't see, you can move closer or whatever. But anyway, okay, I'm going to make believe that you have $25,000 in your bank account at your local bank, wherever you bank at. And that $25,000, you're making 4% interest at your bank, right? Yeah, that's what they're paying you at your local bank right now. No, I know they're not paying you 4%. But I'm going to make believe you found a really, really good bank, and they're paying you 4% interest on your money. And I'm going to be your banker at your local bank. So you're going to call me Banker Brent, all right? So I'm going to be your local banker, and the thing that you do is you come into the bank, and you say, Brent, I want to take the $25,000 out of my bank that's paying me 4% interest, and I want to go buy a car. I want to go buy a $25,000 car. And I say, no, 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 you do not want to take the money out of the bank that's paying you 4% interest. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you a $25,000 car loan, and I'm going to charge you 6% interest on that car loan. Now, If we go to a bank to borrow money to buy a car, how long do we normally are going to bank finance that for? Hey, 5 years. Look at that. You been here before? No. Okay, 5 years or 60 months. So here's what I'm saying. I want you to keep the money in the bank, the $25,000 earning 4%. I'm going to make you a loan for $25,000, and I'm going to charge you 6%. And over the same equal time period, in this case, 5 years or 60 months, our bank will pay you more money on the 4% that you're earning than you'll pay us on the 6% that you're borrowing. Now, is that a true statement? In other words, is it possible for you to make more money earning 4 at the same time as you're paying 6 over the same equal time period? No. You guys are shaking your head no, and that's exactly the thing that I said when I was sitting in your seat back in 2006. How can I make more money earning 4 at the same time I'm paying 6? Because, again, our minds think, well, if I earn 4 and pay 6, I'm losing 2, right? That's the way that I thought. But the banker told you the truth, and let's walk through that. So $25,000 that you borrow at 6% for 5 years or 60 months, your monthly payment is $483.32 a month. You take the $483.32 times the 60 months. That means over the course of 5 years, you're going to pay just under $29,000 for that car. You're going to pay $25,000 in principal and $4,000 in interest. Are you guys with me? Now, that same money that I told you to leave in the bank earning 4% over a total of 5 years or 60 months, you're actually going to have a total of $30,525. Now, here is my question. Is this number right here, $3,525, a larger number than $28,999? Or do you guys do math in Ohio differently than I do in Florida? It's a bigger number, right? Right? It's a bigger number. Well, how can that be? How can you have more money earning 4 at the same time you're paying 6 over the same equal time period? Here's how. The car payment, the car balance is going down. It's going down every month, is it not? It's on a decreasing balance. But the dollars in the account that's earning 4 is going up. So one goes down and the other one goes up. But our minds are not programmed to think that way. We think if we earn 4 and pay 6, we're losing 2. So we have to start learning how money works. Now, the same example works is if I was going to earn 10% and pay 20. That's right. You would have more money earning 10 at the same time you're paying 20 over the same equal time period. But for this, okay, but just for today, I just want to prove to you that you can make money all day long earning 4 and paying 6. Now, why are those numbers important? Well, there's a method to my madness. Now we're going to talk about the machine that we're going to use to build our life insurance policy. We're going to talk about the machine that we're going to use to build and keep and create wealth. And that machine that we're going to use is a whole life insurance policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. Now, I wish you could be standing where I'm at right now and see all of your faces. Because you guys are like, what? A life insurance policy to build wealth? You guys are thinking, I know everything there is to know about life insurance, and there's no way that I would ever use this vehicle to build wealth. Well, let me just tell you, you do not know everything there is to know about it, because if you did, you would be using this in your own life. Now, this is not any whole life insurance policy. It's not an index policy. It's not a universal policy. It's not a variable. It's not a term. This is a specifically designed, specially engineered whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. Now, why on... Oh, and also that policy has high immediate cash value. And by definition of immediate is within 30 days. All right? Now, why do you think that we would want to use a whole life insurance policy to build our wealth? Any ideas of why we would want to do that? What's that? Tax-free? Here's why we're doing it. The number one reason we're doing this is because this is what the rich do. This is what the wealthy do. The number one purchasers of whole life insurance in the world are conventional banks. Conventional banks own more in whole life insurance than all of their land and their buildings combined. As a matter of fact, since 2013, conventional banks have quadrupled the amount of whole life insurance that they purchase. Now, why are banks buying so much whole life insurance? Is it because they're stupid or they know something the rest of us don't know? They know something the rest of us don't know. Look, so this concept that I'm sharing with you today is not a brand new concept. I did not invent it. The guy that wrote this book, R. Nelson Nash, didn't invent it. It's been around for over 200 years. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Morgans, the Stanleys, the Barclays. This is what they've done to build wealth. This is how Walt Disney built Disneyland. It's how Ray Kroc funded McDonald's. It's how Pampered Chef got started before Warren Buffett bought Pampered Chef. So all we're going to do is we're going to mimic and imitate exactly what the wealthy are doing. I don't want you to work harder. I don't want you to change your cash flow, take any additional risk, or lose control of your money. All we're going to do is we're going to add one step in your financial life. Now, how can you check out that whole life insurance? How can you check out to make sure banks are the number one purchasers of whole life insurance in the world? Just go and Google something called BOLI, B-O-L-I. It stands for Bank-Owned Life Insurance, and you will see the hundreds of pages that come up about how much life insurance conventional banks actually own. So we're just going to mimic and do exactly what they do. Now, so let me go back to this. Why is the 4 and the 6% important? Remember, I wanted to prove to you that you could make money all day long earning 4 at the same time you're paying 6. Well, why is that important? Because inside of your policy, the growth rate is 4% or higher tax-free. That's tax-free. That's the growth rate inside of your policy. That's not me telling you. That is in your policy contract. So before you ever sign, pay, and accept your policy, you will see that language in your contract. Now, that's tax-free growth, right? And tell me just what our largest eroder of wealth is. Taxes. So this is money that's growing inside the policy tax-free. Why is the 6% important? Because the 6% is the highest interest rate the insurance company is going to charge you to take a loan. So, can we borrow all day long at 6% and earn 4 and make money? Absolutely. All right. So let's move on. Now, I want to ask you guys, the thing we talked about, the definition of money, a means of exchange. Who in here believes in compound interest? Almost every hand goes up. You guys believe in compound interest. You taught that it was good, right? That's our parents, our grandparents, our friends, our colleagues, our coworkers. We believe in compound interest. Who in here has a 401k or an IRA or qualified plan? Right? A lot of you guys have a 401k, IRA, qualified plan. So you believe in compound interest because you put your money in those plans and you hope to have more later. Now, let's talk about compound interest for a minute. Compound interest only works is if your money sits still, right? So in other words, if I want this $20 bill to earn compound interest, I have to take it down to the bank teller, and I got to put it in the bank, and I have to leave it sit, right? And it'll earn interest. If I go back and get it out of the bank, it's no longer earning interest, is it, right? Now, so it has to sit still. Your product or your money has to sit still in order for it to compound. Well, motion is a natural law of God, is it not? Everything is in motion. I'm up here, my hands are moving, my lips are moving, I'm walking back and forth. I got on an airplane and I flew here. I got in a rent-a-car and I came here, right? Earlier today I ate some food. My food will be in motion through my body pretty soon, yeah? So everything is in motion. So how many of you guys went to the grocery store this past week and went to the fresh produce section and bought fresh produce that you do not intend on eating? You're going to eat it, right? Because if you don't eat it, it's going to spoil. How many of you want to eat fish out of a stagnant pond? Nobody. So everything is about motion, but compounding stops the motion. But we've been taught that compound interest is a great thing. Well, I want you to name me one business in the world. You pick any business you want. Name me one business in the world that uses compounding or compound interest. Banks. Banks use compound interest, right? Let's talk about that. No, banks don't really use compound interest. They pay you compound interest, and they charge you compound interest. But they don't use it themselves, and here's what I mean. If I took this $20 bill, and I highlighted it in yellow, and I put my initials on it, and I took it to the bank teller at the local bank, does the bank teller take my $20 bill? So, like, do they go to the back room, and there's a little box back there that says Brent Kessler, and that's where they put my $20? No. If I go back and want that same $20 bill back in a week, are they going to give it to me? In an hour? In 15 minutes? No. Why aren't they going to give me the same $20 bill back? Because they're keeping it in motion, right? So banks don't use compound interest. How much money does a grocery store make if groceries are sitting on the shelf and nobody's buying them? Zero. How much money does a car dealer make if cars aren't just being bought? Nobody's buying cars. How much money does an airline make if nobody's flying? How much does the Great Wolf Lodge make if nobody's coming in, checking in and out, right, in a plane in the water park? Actually, that was fun yesterday. You guys play in the water park a little bit? I didn't notice any of you guys out there. Did you see me in my bathing suit? I'm just kidding. But zero, right? Nobody makes any money if things are just sitting. How much money do you make in the real estate world if you're not buying houses, selling houses, flipping houses, doing remodels, all right? Or if you're doing hard money lending, if you're doing note investing, zero, zero, zero. Not one business in the world actually uses compound interest. Isn't it a little bit strange? All the major institutions, such as Wall Street, mutual funds, insurance companies, they all tell us to park our money with them and leave it sit still and compound, but they don't do it themselves. Isn't that a little strange? I mean, if it was so good to do it, why aren't they doing it? I'm just trying to get you to think about exactly what's going on. Now, who in here has a 401k IRA qualified plan? Show of hands. Keep them up for a minute. Keep them up. All right. Anyway, sir, can I ask you, how old are you? 53. How long have you been putting money in a 401k IRA qualified plan? Roughly. Age 53 has been putting it in for 30 years. How much longer does he have to put that money in there before he can get it out without paying the penalty? 59 and a half. So he's 53, he's got another 6-7 years, and he's been doing it for 30 years. So that's 36 years. Now, even when he goes to get the money out, he has to pay the taxes on the money, does he not? The tax is always going to be there on the money. So the only thing he's avoiding is the penalty, right? So he has to pay the tax. Now, a couple questions I want to ask you. So, like, so the reason that you put your money into that plan is because you want to have more for the future. It's what your parents did, your grandparents, your friends, your colleagues, and your coworkers. But are there any guarantees that money is going to be there when you go and get it out? No. There is one guarantee. It's guaranteed to never go below zero. But how exciting would that be if that actually happened? Wouldn't that suck? Who's controlling that money, you or someone else? Someone else. All right? Now, I want to ask you a few questions, because the thing you're doing is you're putting money in there, it's being controlled by someone else, and there's no guarantee that it's going to be there. All right? Oh, also, tell me everything you know about your retirement account, your 401k, your IRA qualified plan. Tell me everything you know about that plan that you're in. Wait, hang on. I'll tell you what you know. Here's what you know. The thing you know is if that account goes up or down based on the quarterly statement that you get, and you may know if it's invested in a low, moderate, or high-risk category. But most of you guys don't know crap about what's going on your retirement account. Yeah, okay, I think maybe like one or two of you do, but most of you don't, and somebody else is controlling it. Well, I want to ask you a few questions. Is a dollar worth more today or in the future? Today, and if you ever forget that, think about how many candy bars you could buy 25 years ago for a dollar, how many you can buy today? Question number two, are taxes going to go up or go down? They're going to go up. And even if they don't go up, aren't we taxed on more stuff all the time? Yes. Question number three, if you have a choice to pay tax on the small amount of the seed or the large amount of the harvest, which one would you rather pay tax on? The seed. I agree with all three of those answers. But all three of those answers you are totally violating by putting money in the 401k, IRA, or qualified plan. Because what you're doing is you're giving up good dollars today to get paid back with non-guaranteed dollars that are going to be weaker in the future. You're compounding the tax because the tax is always going to be there, and when you do pay it, you're going to pay it on the large amount and not the small amount. I'm just trying to get you to think about what's going on. Oh, but Brent, but I got that really, really good 401k plan, and they give me a match. Okay, well, let me ask you this. They give you a match, right? Let's just say they match it one-to-one. Well, how can the match be guaranteed if the principal isn't even guaranteed? Just ask it, right? But let's go with your theory, and they give you a match. Now, let me ask you this, okay? Earlier, the thing we said is that food is money. Money is food is money. Car is money is car, house is money is house, right? A means of exchange. So, let's say that we go to the store today, and we're going to buy a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. And the thing we're going to do is bring home that loaf of bread and gallon of milk. Are you going to wait 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years to eat that bread or drink the milk? That would be stupid, wouldn't it? What if we go buy a car or a house today? You're going to wait 10, 15, 20, 30 years to drive the car or move in the house? Absolutely not. That would be ridiculous. Well, why then are you doing that with your money? Because all those things equal money, do they not? See, people do things with money they would never do with things that money buys. You would never buy a loaf of bread, bring it home, put it in the freezer, and wait 10, 20, 30 years to eat it, but you'll put money in a 401k, an IRA, qualified plan, and wait to use it. But you get that match. You got that really good one, a one-to-one. Okay, you get the match. So let's take that match into account. So today we go to the store, we buy the loaf of bread, bring it home, put it in the freezer, and 10, 20, 25 years later, we open up the freezer and we got a match. We now have two loaves of bread in the freezer. How much better is that second loaf of bread going to taste? That's right, it'll still be freezer burn. So I'm just trying to get you to think about what's going on. Now, I want to drive one more point home. I want you to tell me, everybody that you know in your life at retirement age, and a couple of people, it might be you in the room, I want you to think of every single person that you know at retirement age right now. How many people have you met at retirement age that are totally happy, ecstatic, elated, delighted, joyful on how they're qualified 401k, retirement plan, pension has performed for them? There's got to be one of you. One? There you go, I got one. I'm hearing you're 80, right? Two out of 80, right? That's exactly what I get. No, but you see, all of you guys know people that are working right now at retirement age, not because they want to be working, but because they have to be working for survival, because those plans did not turn out the way that they thought. You guys all know somebody in that arena. All right, so let's move on. Now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how a bank actually works. This is how your bank works, wherever you bank at, all right? I'm going to say that you have $100,000 of your money. Don't get wrapped up on the number. It could be $1. It could be $1 million. The point I want you to get is this is your money. And you found that really, really good bank that's paying you 4% interest on your money. Now, I know they're not, but you found a really good one. Well, the thing that you do is every time you get money in, whether it's active income, passive income, investment income, a birthday check in the mail from mom or dad or grandma and grandpa, you take that money and you put it into the bank. You deposit that money into the bank. Now, every time those dollars go into the bank, that money becomes a liability to the bank because they owe you interest. Well, how does the bank take your money and turn it into an asset? Loan it out. That's what banks do. They're in the lending business. So a loan is an asset to a bank, is it not? But every time we think of a loan, guess what we think of it as? A debt, a payment, an expense, a liability. We have to start thinking of a loan as an asset as long as we control the banking functions in our life. So here's what you do with your money. All right, you put it in the bank, and then after you put your money in the bank, guess what you do? You go back to the bank, and you say, Mr. Bank, can I borrow some of that money that I put in as a depositor and go buy a house? Is there anyone in here besides myself that has ever went to a bank and borrowed money to buy a house? You guys have done it, right? So, Now, I'm going to just say they're going to charge you on that loan 7% interest. Don't get hung up on the numbers. I want you to get the concept. You'll see where I'm going in a minute. If you borrow money from a bank to buy a house, are you expected to pay that bank back with interest? Yeah. All right? So who's in control then of that transaction? The bank. All right? Now, who in here besides myself has ever went to a bank and borrowed money to buy a car? Any of you? So let's call that 8%. So if you borrow money from a bank to buy a car, are you expected to pay them back with interest? Absolutely, because if you don't, they'll come and pick it up. All right? Let's say you want to do a house remodel. We'll call that 9% interest. You want to do granite countertops. You want to do a new basement, a swimming pool. So add an addition, a roof, or whatever. All right? The thing you do is you borrow the money from the bank, say at 9%, and if you borrow the bank's money, are you expected to pay them back with interest for the home remodel? Absolutely. So can you see all that's going on here is on your money? It goes in, it goes out. It goes in, it goes out, it goes in. It's constantly in motion. That's why that same $20 bill that I have highlighted in yellow with my initials on it is no longer there when I go back to the bank in a half hour to get it, because it's in motion. That's what banks are doing. Now, let's say you're going to do a debt consolidation loan, pay off the credit cards. We'll call that 12%. Who's in control of every one of these transactions? The bank. Now, let's do a little math. I know it's after lunch. You guys get a little sleepy after lunch, but I'm going to make the math easy. Remember I said you found a good bank that's paying you 4% on your money. Well, on the house, basically they loaned you money at 7, so the bank made 7, you made 4. How much more did they make than you? 3. How about the car, 8 minus 4? They made 4% more than you. What about 9 minus 4? 5, and finally 12 minus 4 is 8. So the bank made 20% and you made 4%. The bank made 20 and you made 4. How much more did the bank make than you? 16%, right? Close. What about 500% more than you? Because look, if the bank made the bank just made $20 and you made $4, so didn't they make 5 times the amount that you made? Banks are making between 400 and 1300% annually on the money that you leave there each and every year. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, well, Brent, I hear you flapping your gums and moving your lips. How do I really know that's true? How do I know banks make that much money on you? All you have to do is go out and get this report. It's called BauerFinancial.com. Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. BauerFinancial.com. You can pull up any report from any bank. I don't care if you get it from a big bank or a little small hometown bank. I don't care if you get the report from this year, last year, 20 years ago. You will see in the annual report on that bank, banks make no less than 400% annually on the money you leave there each and every year. So all we want to do is become the banker in our own life. Because you guys are doing all of this anyway right now. You're buying houses, you're buying cars, you're doing house remodels, and you're using credit cards. Who is getting all the money? Who is getting the money? So if you can become the banker in your own life, you can keep that money in your family where there's no money being leaked out to any people, right? So let me ask you this. So how much risk did the bank take to do all of these transactions? Not a lot, because whose money did they use? They used your money, the depositor's money, so they really didn't take any risk. Now, I will agree the higher risk you are means you're going to pay a higher interest rate to borrow the money. But if you're too high of a risk, are they going to lend you the money anyway? No. So all I want you to do is to be the bank in your own life. All right. So let's move on. There it is, BauerFinancial.com. Now look, I've been teaching this for about 10 years. In March, it'll be 10 years. Prior to the pandemic, I was speaking at 50 to 70 live events a year around the country. When the pandemic hit, everything went to Zoom and virtual. So that's what I've been doing up until about the last 4 months. Now the live events are coming back. I've been on the road for the last 3.5 weeks, and on the road for the next couple weeks before Thanksgiving at live events. So, I ask this question every time. I want you guys to show me a bank that makes less than 400% annually on the money you leave there. And if you show it to me, I will change my presentation and give you the credit for showing it to me. But I've been asking this for almost 10 years now, and nobody's been able to show it. So you might be the first ones to do it. All right, so let's move on. I'm going to skip this section. Now, the rest of what I'm going to go over is in the handout. Does everybody have one of these handouts? If you don't, raise your hand. Hannah, handouts. If you don't have a handout, go ahead and keep your hand up, and Hannah is going to bring that to you. Everything else is in that. All right? Now, the next thing I'm going to show you is I'm going to show you how to get all the money back for all of the cars you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life. So not only do you buy the car, but you're also going to get the money back as well. Would that be pretty cool if I show you how to do that? Anyway, sir, can I ask you, how old are you today? 64. So you've been driving for close to 50 years, ballpark, 45 to 50 years, right? So the car that you started driving 45 to 50 years ago, is that a car you still drive today? What about your second car? No. And you've got your third or your fourth, and the car you're driving today at age 64 is not going to be your last one. You're going to go through life, and you're going to buy and sell cars, right? And anyway, are you married? And I'm assuming your wife likes to drive, and she's probably bought some cars too. Do you have children? At age 64, they're probably driving age now. I'm 54, and my kids are driving age now, right? So they probably like driving, and they have cars. So out of all those cars that you've ever bought, driven, and owned up to this point in your life, how much of the money do you have today? How much do you have today? Zero. So if I do nothing else but show you how to get part or all of the money back for every one of those cars, has it been a good day? All right. So that's what we're going to go through now. Now, remember what the machine is that we're going to use to build our wealth. We're going to use a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. Not any whole life policy, a specifically designed, specially engineered, that has high immediate cash value. And the definition of immediate is within 30 days. So there is premium dollars that you're going to put into the policy. Those are deposits. Most of the time, when we pay premium into a policy, we're thinking of it as a payment, right? Because that's what we think about, a payment. But you got to change your mindset. And after you watch the backward bicycle video I shared with you earlier, you'll see that you want to change your mindset and you want to think of the money that you're putting into this specific policy as a deposit. It is a payment, but in your mind, you got to think of it as a deposit. Because if it's going into an account that you control, is it treated more like a payment or a deposit? A deposit. And tell me the word you like better, payment or deposit? Deposit. And have you ever made too many deposits in your bank account? Never, right? Why, you said that loud, right? You never make too many deposits in your bank account. But yes, so for some reason the girls always say, no, I've never made too many deposits in my bank account. All right, so it's a deposit. Now, age doesn't matter and death benefit doesn't matter. Yes, there's a death benefit on the policy, but it doesn't matter. That's not why we're meeting here today. The reason we're meeting today is to talk about the cash that's in your policy. If you notice, age is grayed out and death benefit is grayed out. So you don't need to worry about age and death benefit at all, even though the policy does have a death benefit. All right? So because what we're doing is we're going to talk about cash. So don't worry about age and death benefit. Okay, because I told you not to worry about age and death benefit, there's at least two of you in the room that are very analytical and you're not going to hear a word I say. You're one of the two. And the thing is that, all right, just unless I talk about age and death benefit, you are not going to hear anything else I said. So let me talk about it quickly. Let's say we have three people, okay? And all three of these people, they're all in different ages. You can pick the ages. 10, 20, 30, 20, 40, 60. It's up to you the age that you pick. Okay, they're all different ages. And the thing they're going to do is they're going to put $10,000 into the policy a year. Now, don't worry about the amount. This is just an example, right? I will never tell you how much money to put in your policy. You can put it in however much you want, and you can put it in the mode you want. Monthly, quarterly, twice a year, or annual. I have over 4,000 clients in every state of the country. I've never, ever told anybody how much to put in the policy. You're going to tell me how much you want to put in. I have people that put in $150 a month, and I have people that put in $3 million a year. You pick a number in between there, and we're good, okay? So you choose the amount you want to put in. But in this case, he's going to put $10,000 in the policy. So let's take those same three people, age 30, 50, and 70. They're all going to put $10,000 into the policy. That's what they're going to put in, all right? They're all in equal health. They walk into the same life insurance store at the same time. They're going to put in 10 grand. Who's going to have the most death benefit out of those people? The youngest. Who's going to have the least death benefit? The oldest. That just makes sense, right? But that's not why we're going to do this, is for death benefit. We're doing it for cash. So let's talk about those same three people, age, what, 20, 40, 60, 30, 50, 70. They all have a $20 bill in their pocket. All of them. They walk into the same grocery store at the same time with $20. Who's going to be able to buy the most groceries? All the same. Because it doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your health, doesn't matter the color of your skin, the language you speak, how good you look, you know, how well you're dressed. The same $20 buys the same amount of groceries for all of those people, right? So does age matter when we're talking about cash in the policy? No, no, no. And the reason I'm driving that home is because every time I do this, there's either a question at the end or somebody comes up and says, Brent, this would have been great if I was younger, but I'm too old to do it. No, you're not too old to do it. The only thing age matters is your death benefit will be lower than somebody that's younger than you. But the cash value is not going to be affected. Are we clear on that? All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Remember, I'm going to show you how to get all the money back for all the cars you're going to buy driving up. So, in this example, all right, I just want you to look at these years right here. Year 1 to 8. That's just time. 8 years. So in this example, he's going to put in $10,000 a year into the policy for 7 years. That's his number, okay? And then he's going to buy a car at the end of the third year, beginning of the fourth year, for $25,000. He's going to buy the car. Now, in real life, I'm never going to have you wait to start using the cash in your policy until the end of the third year, beginning of the fourth year. I want you to start using the cash immediately. And my definition of immediately is what? Within 30 days, okay? But just know this. If the thing you do is start using the cash earlier than what I'm showing you in this example, the numbers are only going to increase. It's only going to get bigger, all right? So now he's going to go buy a $25,000 car, and he's going to pay himself back with interest. He's going to pay $500 a month or $6,000 a year back to himself. He borrowed the money from himself. He's going to pay himself back with interest. Now, earlier, the thing you told me is if you borrow money from a bank to buy a car, you're expected to pay them back with interest. Did you not? So do you think if you borrow money from yourself, you should pay yourself back with interest? Absolutely. If you ever do it. No. I don't even know you, and I know you guys don't do it. Whenever you take money out of your account, you never even back the money you took out, much less with interest. You have to start doing that. From this point forward, whenever you borrow from yourself, you need to pay yourself back with interest. Because if you don't, the thing that you're saying is your money is not as valuable as the bank's money. So you need to treat your money the same way you treat a bank's money. Pay yourself back with interest. So in this case, he's going to pay himself back $500 a month or $6,000 a year for 5 years. He borrowed $25 and put back $30. So let's see what he did here over 8 years. Well, he put in 10 times 7 is 70. He paid back 6 times 5 is 30. So he put in $100,000, did he not? He put in $100,000, but he took out $25 to buy the car. So if he put in $100 and took out $25, if he put in $100 and took out $25, how much more did he put in than he took out? If he put in $100 and took out $25, how much more did he put in than he took out? $75,000. How much cash does he have in his policy right now? $73,226. So if you take $73,226, you divide it into the $75,000, which which is the net injection into the policy, you just got back 96 cents out of every dollar for that very first car. How would you like to have 96 cents back of every dollar for every car you bought through them to know? Would that be pretty cool? Right? Is there anything stupid, ridiculous, or idiotic that I'm doing here? No, man. I just bought a stupid life insurance policy, and I'm using it to buy a car. That's it. You're going to buy the car anyway. All we're doing is adding one step in your financial life. But it goes on because that car wears out, or maybe now your wife wants to buy a car because she's tired of walking for the last 5 years, right? I bet you wouldn't have walked for her. She hasn't. All right. So now I want you to look at year 9 to 13. 9 to 13. We're going to go buy another $25,000 car. That money's coming from where? The 73,226. Now I'm no longer going to put premium into the policy. All I'm going to do is pay myself back on the car that I bought. So I took out 25, and I'm going to pay myself back just like I paid for the first car, $500 a month or $6,000 a year for 5 years for a total of $30,000. So I took out 25, put back 30. Took out 25, put back 30. How much more did I put back than I took out? $5,000, right? $5,000 is my true net injection. Now, how much cash do I now have in the policy? 95. So it grew from 73 to 95, which is a $22,000 growth with a $5,000 net injection. How do you like buying cars my way? Is there anything stupid, ridiculous, or idiotic that I'm doing? No, man. All I did is I bought a stupid-ass life insurance policy, and I'm using it to buy the car. See, you guys are going to buy the car anyway. A couple up here are like, Brent, why did you use the word ass? That wasn't very nice. Well, there was about four of you that were sleeping and not paying attention, but now you're watching again. It's something about the word ass that just brings you right back up to the screen, right? So that's all we're doing, right, is we're adding one step in our financial life. That's it. You're going to buy the cars anyway. Now watch this, all right? Let's look and see what happened in 13 years. Now, sir, you're 64, right? 13 years ago, you were 51. Does it feel like just yesterday? It does. It goes by fast, right? So 13 years goes by quick. Let's see what we did here in 13 years. In year 1 to 8, we put in 10 times 7, 6 times 30 for a total of 100. In year 9 to 13, 6 times 5 is 30. So the thing we put in is a total of $130,000. Are you with me? We took out money to buy two cars. We took out 25 here in year 4, 25 in year 9 for a total of $50,000. So if I put in 130 and I took out 50, put in 130 and I took out 50, how much more did I put in than what I took out? $80,000. How much cash do I have in the policy? 95. Wait a minute. I want to make sure I understand what you're telling me. Are you telling me I put in 130, I took out 50 to buy the cars, so my net injection is 80, but here I am in year 13 with $95,000 in cash. Is that what you're saying? Yes. And if it's true, oh, wait a minute. Not only do you have the 95 grand, guess what else you have? You have two cars, a 5-year-old car and a 10-year-old car that you've owned, driven, bought, and used. You can still own it. You can still drive it. You can either sell it, donate it, whatever you want. Well, if that's true, how much did those cars cost you to buy, drive, and own? If my net injection is 80 and I've got 95 grand in the cars. Well, the way my simple mind thinks is it cost me nothing. I made money on the deal. I have more money. Well, that's exactly the way my mind works. And however, I can't sit here and tell you the cars cost you nothing because you had to start the policy. And if you look at year one, when you put in 10 grand, the whole 10 grand was not there to use, was it? But that's okay. Are you in this for the short term or the long term? You tell me long term, but you tend to get hung up in short term thinking. Have you ever read a book by Rick Warren called A Purpose Driven Life? In that book, Rick Warren says life is like a marathon. It doesn't matter where you start, it only matters how you finish. This is the game of life. So this is all we're doing, is we're just using this particular policy in this example to buy one car every 5 years. Now look, if I can do this for a car, first of all, let me ask you this. All right, so did I show you and prove to you how you're going to get all the money back for all the cars you're going to buy driving up? By adding one step. Now, if I can do this for a car, a $25,000 car, can I do it for, say, a $50,000 car? Yeah, right? And if I did it for a $50,000 car, and I was paying myself back, instead of $6,000 a year, if I was paying myself $12,000 a year, what would happen to the numbers? They would go up. How about if Mom and Daddy had a $50,000 car, what would happen? They would go up. Well, how about if I use this for something else? If it's not a car, could I use this for a bicycle? Could I use it for a boat? Could I use it for a cell phone, for clothes? Could I use it for jewelry? Could I get the money back for my airline ticket? Could I get my money back for the hotel room? Could I get my money back for taxes? Could I buy or pay for my taxes and recycle and recapture and get all the money? What about charitable giving? Could you give to charity and get all your money back? Ooh, Brent, that ain't right. God doesn't want you to get my charity back. Well, let me tell you, if God didn't want you to get your charitable giving back, He would not have you standing in this room and showing you how to get it back, and He would not have you in the chairs learning how to do it. Do you know any poor people that are adding wings onto any churches? I don't either. So we're now recycling and recapturing every dollar. It doesn't matter what product or service that you are buying, you are now able to recycle it and recapture that money. Have you guys ever heard of a guy named Robert Kiyosaki? He wrote a book called Second Chance. This is exactly what Robert Kiyosaki talks about in the book. But you guys read it and didn't know what it meant. He talks about turning liabilities into assets. He talks about turning assets that are depreciating into appreciating assets. Have you heard of a guy named Tony Robbins? Chapter 5.4 of the Tony Robbins book, Money Master the Game. This is exactly what Tony Robbins covers in that book. So this concept is not new. It's not on trial. It's not being tested. It's been around for over 200 years. This is what the wealthy do to keep, build, and create wealth. They keep the money in the family. See, there's no money that's being leaked out. That money stays within your family. Okay, there are three rules. Rule number one, pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. You guys have all heard pay yourself first, but you don't ever do it. See, I don't even know you, and I know what you do with your money. Every time you get your money, however it comes in, you put it into the bank, and then you write checks or do online banking, and you pay everybody else first. You pay the car people, the house people, you pay the student loans, you pay the travel, the food, the entertainment, you pay for Bobby's soccer practice, Susie's piano lessons, and you hope there's money left over. Got to start paying yourself first, then pay other people. Rule number two, pay yourself with interest. Pay yourself with interest. If you borrow money from a bank, you're going to pay them back with interest. You don't skip a beat, do you? So don't you think it's a good idea that you treat your money the same exact way? Pay yourself back. Rule number three, recycle and recapture all of the money. If that works, so the three rules, pay yourself first, pay yourself with interest, recycle and recapture. If this works for a car, what else does it work for? It's infinite. Anything. We're turning every liability into an asset, every depreciating asset into an appreciating asset. All right. I gave you a total of four books. Here's the other two. One is Second Chance. The other one's Money Master the Game. So two more books to add to your wealth building library. Okay. The last thing I'm going to go over, and I'll be done. This is called the Money Multiplier Map. I know a few of you walked in the last 10 minutes. Hannah, can you give out handouts? So anyway, by a show of hands, who does not have this handout? Raise your hand high, and Hannah's going to bring them to you. All right? Now, this is called a money multiplier map. We do these for all of our clients, all right? You're probably wondering, you're like, maybe saying, Brent, this is pretty cool. I'd like to do this, but I wonder how much it's going to cost me to have you do this for me. You're never going to write me a check for a dime, or my company, the money multiplier check for a dime. You see, all right, hopefully if this is something that you want to do, that I'm the guy that you're going to do it with. And in order to do it, you have to have a policy, one of these whole life policies with high cash values. in a mutual company that pays dividends, that you can start using the money immediately. So hopefully I'm the guy you buy the policy from, right? So I am your servicing agent. Because you got to buy the policy from someone. The reason you want to buy it from me and not your brother-in-law that sells life insurance. We all have a brother-in-law that sells life insurance, right? Yeah. The reason you want to do it with me and not them is because they don't understand this concept. They're not going to be able to design the policy the way that I'm showing you. And they have no clue about how to do this. And if they did, why haven't they told you already? So the way that I get paid is I get paid one way only. I get paid the same way you pay your car insurance guy or gal. So for example, let's say you go to John Smith, the Allstate man, to buy car insurance. Well, the check that you write is not to John Smith, is it? No. You write the check to Allstate, and Allstate pays John Smith a commission. So that's how I get paid, is a commission on the policy that you start. You're never going to pay anything extra other than what you say that you want to put in your policy. There's no charges, there's no fees, there's no hidden costs. Only the amount that you decide to pay into the policy, and that check that you write directly to the insurance company. All right? So let's move on to the money multiplier math. Now remember, I told you that I had $984,711 in debt. I paid that debt off in 39 months. I didn't work harder, change my cash flow, take any additional risk. So now I'm going to walk through this with you, and you're going to see how I did that. I'm not going to use my example. It'll take too long. But I'm going to use another real-life example, and when you see this, you'll know exactly how I did it. So this is the money multiplier map. On the left is all it is time, month 1 to 12, month 13 to 24, year 1, year 2. In this example, he's going to put in $25,000 into the policy. The last example was $10,000. This example, $25,000. Okay? It's his number. He chose $25,000. Okay? So I want you to write down on your paper that he's going to put in $25,000 into the policy, and he's going to pay that annually. All right? Now, he walked into our door, and he had these debts. He owed these 12 third-party creditors. He owed Discover Card, Chase, American Express, Barclays, Lowe's, Nordstrom's, Wells Fargo, private loan. He owed the car, the BMW, the West Marine condo, and the house. In each of those debts, it shows you how much he owes, what the interest rate is, and how long he has to pay on them, right? And, all right? So, if I add up all those debts left to right, it comes to almost $470,000. But let's round down, because I like to under-promise and over-deliver. So let's just say it's only $450,000. So on your paper, I want you to write down he owes $450,000. That's what he owes. And he's going to put in $25,000 a year to pay off the $450,000. So, let's assume there's no interest, which there is, but let's assume there's no interest. How long is it going to take you to pay off $450,000 of debt if you're putting in $25,000 a year? 18 years, right? 25 goes into 450 18 times. So on your paper, write down 18 years. That's what it should take. Now let's walk through this and see how well he does. In the first month of the first year, he puts in $25,000. He immediately, how soon is immediately? Within 30 days, he borrows out $14,300. He takes that $14,300, he's going to pay off all of Discover, all of Chase, all of American Express, all of Barclays, and he's going to pay Lowe's down from $9,500 to $7,600. He's going to take that money that he was paying those creditors, because he no longer owes them anymore. He paid them off. And he's going to pay himself back that money. So the Discover was $160 a month. Chase, $200. American Express, $200. Barclays, $228. Add them all up. It comes to $788 a month. He's now paying himself back. So is he changing his cash flow by doing this? Is he working harder? Taking any additional risk or losing control? No. He only changes who gets the money. Before it was them. Now it's coming back to him. So now he continues to do that. We get to the end of the first year, beginning of the second year, month number 13. He now puts in $25,000. He can borrow a higher amount than he did the first year. How soon can he borrow that? Within 30 days. So he can borrow $14,800, plus he has the $9,400 that he was paying himself back the previous 12 months. Add that to the $14,800. he has 24-3. He takes that 24-3, pays off all of Lowe's, pays off all of Nordstrom's, pays off all of Wells Fargo, and he pays the BMW down from $17,000 to $15,000. He takes that money that he was paying those creditors. So Lowe's was $287, Nordstrom's $276, Wells Fargo $271. Add those together, add it to the $788 he was paying himself. Now he's paying himself $1,622 a month. Again, is he working harder, changing his cash flow, taking any additional risk or losing control? Nope. The only change is he gets the money. Sun goes up, sun goes down. He's just living life. All he's done is added one step in his financial life. He bought this stupid policy and he's using it to pay down the debt. That's all. We just added one extra step. Now, if you look in month 18, what happens? Well, let's look at this loan called the private loan. Well, the private loan, it only had 7 months left to go. So he pays it off in 7 months, right? And now he pays it off and he says, hey, I don't have that $922 a month anymore going out to the private loan. So he says, well, let me pay myself back because I've been paying it and I'm used to paying the $922. So he adds the $922 to the $1,622 and now he's paying himself $2,544. He doesn't have to do that. He could say, hey, I don't want to pay myself back. It's totally up to him. He's in total control. It's completely up to you if you want to pay yourself back or not. But I just tell you to do it because that's what you do when you borrow money from a bank. So treat your money the same way you treat a bank's money. But you don't have to pay it back. It's completely up to you. So now we get to the end of the second year, the beginning of the third year. All right? Now look what happens. Month 25. Okay? The beginning of the third year. Now we put in $25,000. How much can we use right away? 22 and some change. Not only do we use the 22 and some change, we also have the 25.9 that we were paying ourselves back the previous 12 months. So that would be a total of about 48.3. Well, we got the 48.3. We pay off. Okay, now the BMW is paid off. So we add the 500 a month to the 25.44 a month we were paying ourselves back before, and now we're paying $3,044. 2 months later, we pay off West Marine. We have enough money to pay off West Marine, so that frees up $1,261 a month. Add it to the $3,044 a month. Now we're paying $4,305. We're just living life, man. It's up to you if you want to pay yourself back or not. Totally up to you. I'm telling you should because you're used to doing it anyway, but you don't have to. We get to the end of the third year, beginning of the fourth year, month number 37. Now look what happens. Now when we put in 25, how much can we use? Almost 26 immediately. Can you see how these numbers just get bigger? Every single year, that cash value, loan availability, and the death benefit, which I'm not even talking about here, they continue to increase. That's not me telling you. That is in your policy contract. Before you ever sign, pay, and accept your policy, you will see all of those numbers. So now, we put in 25, we have 26. 26 and 41 is 67,000. We only have two debts left now, don't we? We paid off 10 of the 12. We have the condo and the house. So now we're going to pay the condo down from 81 to 12 because I don't have enough to pay it all off. Well, that's okay. I don't have enough to pay it all off, so I'm not going to pay myself back any more than the $4,305. I'm going to keep all of that the same, right? Because if you remember what I told you, I don't want you to work harder, change your cash flow, take additional risk, or lose control. Now look what happens. Oh, watch this. Watch this. If you've been sleeping, you've got to see this. You've got to see this. How much money have we put in the policy in the first 3 years? 75, right? 25, 25, and 25, okay? How much are we using of the money that we put in? Well, remember the first year, 14 and some change? Second year, 14 and some change? Third year, 22? So we're using 50. We put in 75, we're using 50. We put in 75, we're using 50. So how much money is in the policy? 25, right? Okay, hang on. Okay, so So the thing we did is we put in 75, right? That's what we put in to the policy for premium. That's the premium dollars that we put into the policy. Paid into the policy, premium dollars. We put in 75, and we're using 50. So how much is in the policy? You guys said 25? No. All $75,000 is in the policy, and it's growing, and it's compounding at that guaranteed tax-free growth rate. See, here's what happens. Anytime you take a policy loan, you are not borrowing out from the policy. You are simply, the thing you're doing is you are going to put your policy up for collateral, take a loan from the general fund of the insurance company. Your money is continuing to compound even though you're using it. There's no interruption of compound interest. I thought you guys would be a little more excited about that. I'll take the questions at the end. Everything is growing in the policy, right? All of your money, even though that you're using it. There is no other vehicle on this planet that has these features and benefits that works this way. And if you know of one, let me know what it is, because I've been looking since 2006, so about 15 years, and I haven't found it yet. So all of your money is growing. There's no interruption of compound interest. Okay, now let's get to the end of the third year. No, where are we at? Now we're into the end of the fourth year, beginning of the fifth year. We put in 25. How much can we use? 26,800, almost 27,000. Plus, we have the 51,600 from the previous 12 months. We've got $78,000 to be able to use. We only owe for the house. So we got, we owe $151 on the house, so we pay it down from $181 down to $102. All right? Continue to pay ourselves back just like we were before. End of the fifth year, beginning of the sixth year, we now put in our premium dollars again, but this time we only put in $10,000. I'll explain that later, but just know the way we designed the policy, we designed it so it has high immediate cash value, and at the end of the fifth year, we usually change the policy up a little bit. There's this thing called the PUA, Paid Up Additions Rider, that we drop off. All right, no need to understand that right now. That's for another time. But now we're only going to put in $10,000 into the policy. Now, how much can we use when we put in that $10,000? How much can we use immediately? 13, right? Now, I'm not a math genius or anything, but if I'm putting $10,000 in and I can use $13,000 immediately, isn't that a 30% increase on your money? How much of your money do you want to grow at 30% 61 months from now? The correct answer is all of it. Right? And then guess what's going to happen next year when I put in 10? It's going to be a higher number than 13. I own 19 of these policies. I put about a half a million a year in my own premium. My oldest policy, my very first policy, I started in February of 2008. This past February, it was 13 years old. Every dollar I put into that policy, it gave me $2.09 a year. Guess what it's going to give me this February, in the 14th year, for every dollar I put in? A higher number than 209. Now, you guys see, anytime, whenever it comes time for my policy anniversary date, why I'm like doing a happy dance, just went out to the mailbox to pay that premium. I never, ever, 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 ever want to stop paying the premium on a whole life policy in a mutual company to pay dividends, because the growth just keeps getting bigger each and every year. The longer it goes, the bigger it gets. So now what we do is we start a brand new policy, okay? It's like a branch office. The bank that you guys bank at, is there one branch or multiple branches? Multiple. So can you have multiple branches of your own bank, i.e. your policy, right? Absolutely you can. So if you work with us, you'll never wait more than 5 years to start a second policy. I have about right around 4,000 clients in every state of the country. 91% of our clients that have been with us a year or longer have more than one. They come back and they want to do more premium. Of those, 70% come back before the first year is up, because they see how efficient this works and how effective that we work with it. So you're going to want to get more and more dollars into this policy in the third year and beyond as you possibly can get. All right, almost done. Look, month 61. We put in 10, we got 13 to use from that. We put in the brand new one, 25, we got 14. 13, 14 is 27. We got got the 65 that we've been paying ourselves back. So we got 93,000. Well, I only owe 90,000 on the house, don't I? So now I paid off that last debt. I am completely paid off all of those debts. Now, remember I said there was almost $470,000 of third-party debt that he paid off. And how much did he have to inject of outside money to do it? Well, how much did he put in the first year in the policy? 25, second, third, fourth, fifth, 25. 5 times 25 is 125, right? Plus 10 is 135, right here. And 25 is 160. So he injected $160,000 of outside money, paid off just under $470,000 of third-party debt, kept his cash flow the same, didn't work any harder, take any additional risk or lose control. How happy do you think that family was? Could he have went quicker if he wanted to? Did it faster? Yeah, he could have paid him more premium. He could have paid himself more back than the minimum. Could he have went slower? He could have started with less premium, not pay himself back, not start a second policy. See, it's up to you how you do this. I mean, I paid off $984,711 in 39 months. The only difference is I just went a little faster. It doesn't matter what speed you go at. There's absolutely no risk in this whatsoever. Nobody in your state, no matter what state you live in, has ever lost money in a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. It has never happened. Go look it up and find it and show you. The only risk factor in everything I'm showing you is you and how you use the policy. Who do you know better than you? Right? All right. Almost done. You're probably thinking, who does this? So who uses this concept? Why haven't I heard about it before? This is how the University of Michigan pays their head football coach, Jim Harbaugh. I was about to do a presentation. I was in Denver, Colorado on this date, November 16, 2016. And I got there a little early, and I opened up ESPN. I wanted to see the sports scores. And here comes this article. So by them doing that, they recapture and get all of the money back they paid him for his salary. So this is how he's paying the vets, right? This is how an employer will pay their salary of employees. This is how they pay his salary. Now, I will say this. If any of you know anything about college football at the University of Michigan, it's a good thing they're getting the money back for paying this guy because he hasn't won the games he was supposed to win. Right? Oh, my gosh. That fired him up. Right? All right. So, this is actually how Walt Disney built Disneyland. After failing in the pursuit of traditional means of financing to build what would become Disneyland, Walt had to provide his own financing. A lot of it came from collaterally borrowing from his policies. Who knows if there would even be Disneyland if he wasn't able to, you know, borrow from the policy? Because he couldn't get the money from the traditional bank. Ray Kroc with McDonald's, okay? He borrowed money from his two cash value policies to help cover salaries of key employees. He also used part of that money to fund that campaign we know as Ronald McDonald. Pampered Chef, using $3,000 she borrowed. This lady in 1980, Doris Christopher, she started a business called Pampered Chef in her suburban Chicago home. Later sold Pampered Chef for $1.5 billion to Warren Buffett. What a bad gig. How did she start the business? Had to borrow the money from the policy. Ah, there you go. Joe Biden, article right here. June of 2014. Biden says he has no stocks, bonds, or savings account. He says, in addition, he holds six life insurance policies with an insurance company that I write business with. So who knows how many he has now, right? This was 7 years ago, 2014. Stanford University, JCPenney, Foster Farms, it goes on and on. All right, now that I went over this information, in my opinion, this is something that you need to do, all right? Because I gave you the information. Before you came in here, you had no clue, but now you have the information. Now that you know this, if you don't do it, not only are you stealing from yourself, but you're stealing from your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, and future generations because you're letting money leave the family. The money is leaving your family. So all we're going to do is we're going to add one step in our life. We're just going to add a tool in our life that the wealthy use. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. It doesn't matter if you make $10 an hour or $10,000 an hour. Everybody needs to break the bonds of financial slavery they don't even realize they're in and start taking control of their own money. Because look, there's us and the super wealthy. There's us and the super wealthy, right? We all have access to the same financial tools, do we not? Right? So now all we're going to do is use the tools that the wealthy use and get rich and wealthy right along with them by keeping that money in the family. Have you ever guys ever heard of a guy named Warren Buffett? Now look, I think about this quote every day of my life, and I am not very smart. It took me 13 trimesters to get through 10 trimesters of chiropractic school because I kept failing classes. Finally, when I passed, it took me 2 extra years to become a chiropractor and be able to be licensed and practice in the state of Kansas because I couldn't pass Part 3 of national boards. It took me 3 times to pass, and they only give you the test once every 6 months. So I'm not the brightest candle in the cake, the sharpest on the chin, and some people have even said I'm a couple donuts short of a dozen. But I understand this, and this is what Warren Buffett said. I don't know when he said it, but I heard it in October of 2008, and I think of this quote every day of my life, and this is how simple it is. If poor people would just start doing what rich people do, they wouldn't be poor anymore. How much sense does that make? That's all we're going to do is mimic what the wealthy do. All right. Now, look, every one of us in this room, in the next 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 days, 10 months, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, only one of two things are possible for all of us. We're either going to live or we're going to die. Now I like to use the word graduate, but use whatever word you want. So we're going to live or die, right? If we live, are we better off with or without this concept that I'm showing you? Hopefully you think with. It's not an if, but a when we die. When we die, are our beneficiaries better off with or without this concept? Yeah, with. Because of the death benefit. So how much today did I talk about death benefit? How much did I really even talk about life insurance? No, man, that's just the vehicle that we're using to build the wealth. It's a life insurance product, right? Because I don't know of another vehicle out there that works better. If I could buy these like water bottles and do the same thing that I just showed you, I'd be up here telling you, man, we got to get some more of these water bottles. Those things are working pretty good, right? It's just the product. It's the vehicle that we're using. All right. How much did I pay today? Did I talk about policies are exempt from lawsuits and judgments in most states? That's right, protected against lawsuits and judgments. So remember, O.J. Simpson found not guilty of the criminal trial, but he was found guilty of the Goldman family in the other trial, the civil trial. So, like, did they ever get any money from O.J.? Why didn't they get it? Remember Ken Lay with Enron? Remember, he owed all that money to those people. Did they ever get the money? Where was this money? There's many, many more examples. All right? The internal growth of the policy grows tax-free. That's right. Everything in the policy grows tax-free. See, here's what you want to do, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You want to pay tax on your money one time only, at the lowest rate possible, and you want to get that money into a tax-free environment and get the government completely out of your hair. Do you not? Everything is growing internally tax-free, and obviously the death benefit is never taxable. The loan never has to be paid back. You never, ever, ever have to pay back your loan to the policy because the loan is a prepayment of the death benefit. You are borrowing against the death benefit. The insurance company can never lose because the death benefit will always be higher than the cash value and the loan availability, and you are guaranteed to die. It's not an if, it's a when. So the insurance company can never lose because if you have a policy loan at the time of your death, what happens is the death benefit pays off the loan because they've already given you that money while you're living, and the rest of your money goes to your beneficiaries tax-free. All right. Part of the reason that we do this, I bet this song doesn't work on the speaker, but we're going to try it. Part of the reason we do it, all right. Now, if this is something that you want to do, oh, and also if you email me, Brent@themoneymultiplier.com, I'll send you this ebook. But, all right, so this is the last slide here. If this is something that you want to do, or maybe the thing you just want to learn more about how it would work for your situation, on the very back of this handout, all I want you to do is write your name, your phone number, and your email. Write it where I can read it. Man, you guys have a lot of bad handwriting. The room I did yesterday, I had 162 people in the room, and I got like 81 of these turned in, of the total 162, right? but a lot of the handwriting I can't read. So please, please, please write where I can read it. So, and anyway, I will call you, text you, email me. Do not turn in that sheet of paper if you are going to ignore my call, text, or email. All right? Don't make me chase you. Right? So it's okay if you don't turn it in, but if I text you, email you, respond back, please. Respond back. So turn them in. And anyway, Hannah is going to pick them up. See Hannah right here? Hannah is my daughter, my assistant. We also are out there at the booth, the Money Multiplier booth. We'll be here for about 2 more hours, and then we're heading back home to Florida. If this is something you want to do, just complete that form, turn it into Hannah, and the thing we'll do is I'll do a call with you. I'll do what we call a strategy call. We'll schedule the call for like 45 minutes. We may need more time. We may need less time. If we need more, we'll schedule another call. If we need less, we'll be done early, okay? I'm not going to ask you to buy anything. I'm going to answer your questions, and we'll go over your situation and how this will work for you. And hopefully, if this is something you decide to do, I'm the guy that you'll buy the policy with, all right? So, also, there's my name, so that's a good number to text me at. There's my email. Let's say you want to go directly on my scheduled calendar and schedule that strategy call. That's the website right there. Go to that and schedule that call. And if the thing you want to do is go view this whole presentation, there were a couple small parts I left out because of time, but let's say you want to go back and watch it again, or maybe there's somebody that's not here that should be here, go then to my website, themoneymultiplier.com, click on resources and click on presentation. The whole presentation is there. It's broken down into 10 sections. You can also, the downloadable attachments are there. And I gave that to you here on this as well, right? So that screen that's there is right here. So it's all there as well. Okay, I'm done. Thank you for coming. I will take questions. I got, I think, a couple minutes for questions. And I'll be at the booth, too.